Ladies and gentlemen, y'all know what time it is. Once again, another edition of 3Y Nestle Podcast with EG3. Back on the airways once again, Eddie Greer, the third host of the NASCAR Podcast. Latest in what's going on around the three biggest divisions in motorsports. We're talking about the K4 Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports, folks. And since episode 300, we talked a lot about the Xfinity Series. Today, as I'm recording this, on a soggy Saturday morning, July 2nd, 2022, this is episode 301 of the 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3, mainly focusing on the Cup side. And, of course, yes, getting you set up. Well, this podcast is going to come out tomorrow. Well, obviously, Sunday, July 3rd. This is 4th of July weekend, folks. So it might be moot point, like I usually say on this podcast most of the time. But we'll talk about mainly Cup today and set the stage for the Cup race out there in beautiful Wisconsin up there. As well, before we dive on into the recap, what took place at Nashville, of course, a 3Y NASCAR podcast, EG3, can find it wherever you listen to your podcast, whether that is iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey, Audio Boom, and a couple more platforms out there that we're on out there. Make sure you are subscribed to the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Not messing around. Well, obviously, before I get dive on into this, I am recording this, as I said, early Saturday morning, pouring rain in Manhattan, Kansas. The wacky weather continues. Well, we've been getting a lot of rain this summer, and good for the grass, not good for some of us who are dealing with some water issues as well. So we're just going to have to just figure out a way, like we usually do, and figure that out. But anyways, I'm recording this a little early in the morning. Obviously, thundering and lightning, you can't take a chance with that when you try to plan a run or a group run for that matter. Usually Saturdays are group runs, but I am racing, not driving. I am running a 5K race on Monday. So yeah, makes no sense. Obviously, put yourself in that kind of position. Where, yeah, you read stories, unfortunately, most of the time, that people are at the wrong place, wrong time, or just don't have common sense whatsoever. So, yeah, definitely not going to put yourself in that position right there. So, I'm recording this as it is still pouring cats and dogs right now here in Manhattan, Kansas on Saturday morning. Really carried over from last night. There started started lightning around 8:30 and started rain from then, and since then hasn't really stopped since then. So yeah, so once this all clears out, and we'll see what we're good on it. If you're worrying about that, we're good. Just some of these things, you can't control some of these things, which is the most frustrating part of that. But kind of going on a mini weather rant there as well. Well, speaking of thundering lightning, that's a good transition to this episode, because Nashville, that's exactly what it was. Obviously, qualifying for the Cup Series did not complete its full course, thanks to surprising rain shower that took place last Saturday. We're at Nashville, and then, of course, the race took place. Really, we found ourselves a night race last Sunday, after multiple stoppages due to lightning in the area. There you have, and the lightning rule is, some people were surprised, did not know this. If a lightning strikes within pretty much radius of the racetrack, if you can see lightning, yeah, you can you have to reset the lightning clock to 30 minutes, something like that. So it is 30-minute time clock. If you don't see within that 30 minutes, then you can resume racing. You can resume racing and you go from there. So it stopped and started. It had to stop and reset multiple times. And then, of course, you had to fight Mother Nature there as well. I couldn't count how many times it had to stop due to lightning around the area. And then, of course, it decided to pour rain there. And at one point, we thought that it was going to get moved to Monday, but it did not. And you got to give big thanks to NASCAR. How many times I've said this on this podcast about that as well. Big kudos for them to getting it in, especially with that battling those sales around the racetrack as well. But after all that was said and done, lightning in the distance, getting your past the rain and all, the number 9 team of Chase Elliott bringing it home, the checkered flag in this race, the Ally 400. And at one point in this race, Chase Elliott started, I went back through some of these numbers here. Chase Elliott started, what, fourth? And at one point early in the race, he was not a factor in the race, man. But again, these are Cup Series drivers, and they had barely good talented crew chiefs, Alan Gustafson being one of them. And all of a sudden, you know, when the lights came on, everything else came to fruition, and Chase Elliott, next thing you know, you found himself, he was riding what in the teens in the first half of the race, and then as it went on, the weather might have played a little havoc in it, the stop of delays, whatnot, might have played a havoc in this, I don't know, but you gotta use every little advantage you can, right, and that's what this 9 team did. And at the end of the night, they outran Joe Gibbs Racing, was the story of the night here. Obviously, yes, I'll get into that. And another rant while I'm on it. On top of that, but yeah, Chase Elliott leading only twice for 42 laps. He talked about a critical point in his race. Second to last caution in along the lines of that. Chase Elliott was looking at a restart between the Toyota Gibbs teammates of Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr., and he used that pretty much to his advantage. You know, Chase Elliott, his personality, he's not going to show too much. He's not your rah-rah kind of guy. Obviously, the 2020 NASCAR Cup champion, not going to show his wild side, his calm demeanor, and definitely his calm demeanor and everything else definitely played to the strength of this team as the number 9 team of Hendrick Motorsports cashed in victory lane, which, oh, by the way, now he has the most wins in that organization here in 2022 up until this point anyways now, with Larson, Bowman, and Byron having one apiece. Chase Elliott now the lead dog for Hendrick Motorsports there with that win as well. So, again, you got to get credit where it's due there. When you outrun Toyota was the story of this night. Now I'm saying that. Now I'm saying that phrase. Anyways, yeah, last Sunday night, Chase Elliott, he hung around long enough and took advantage of some miss, whatever that was, that missed strategy play, really, from all the Toyotas there. I know from memory, Christopher Bell stayed out. Everyone else pitted there. Bubba Wallace stayed out, actually, on that and finished 12th in the race last Sunday. More on him and his teammate, for that matter, momentarily here on the 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3, episode 301 of the podcast here. We talked about Xfinity a lot in episode 300. If you have not checked it out, please go back, download it, and check that out as well. We're not going to talk much about Xfinity in this one today, due to what I talked about in episode 300. Trucks are off until next week when everybody returns to Atlanta. Yeah, so there's that. You got to deal with that as well. But yeah, Toyota, the story of the night here, the stat of this of the week here, Toyota led all but 50 laps in this race. Yeah, and you know how NASCAR races go, and you think you have it in the bag, then everything changes on one freaking caution there, and I'll get into that momentarily. But yeah, just looking at the top 10 here, we'll start with Kevin Harvick. Obviously, when the start of the weekend happened last week, Harvick, this team was not in the ballpark. They're not in the ballpark whatsoever. But to see that team hanging around in the top 10, really, for majority of the night, obviously, I think they pitted as well. I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm not sure on that last caution there, but I'm pretty sure they're the ones that stayed out as well. At this point in this junction, you can't do what everybody else does, especially in the position as Kevin Harvick is right now, trying to fight his way into the postseason. But he did finish 10th in this race in that Busch Light Apple Ford. Scores, stages, stage points in both stages. There, next one, he was not a factor in this race. That the person I'm talking about, Joey Logano, in the Shell Pennzoil Ford. Finished 9th in this race. He led twice for 4 laps. And that was probably under caution laps on top of that there. Christopher Bell, I talked about him staying out on the racetrack. He ended up finishing 8th in this race there. Scored stage points in stage number 1 right there. Austin Cindric. And boy, this could have been really disastrous there for this 2 team. But again, they used this long night as you might want to call this what? This race was supposed to start at 5 Central Time, right? 6 Eastern Time. And this race ended around, I'd probably say, after 10 Central time zone here. So, a pretty good 4 or 5 hours. Probably a good 5.5 hours of rainish lightning coverage / racing. And Austin Cindric, he was a lap down at one point in this race and battled back all the way up to the 7th position there to finish there in Nashville. And you have to think again, he wasn't that much of a factor at Sonoma in my eyes there. Not as much as he was at Coda there. You know what? I don't think he's really been a fast, surprising factor. You know, looking ahead to Road America a little bit, crossing over the two between Nashville and Road America, right? So you would think now, will he be a player tomorrow? And actually, listening to this afternoon, we'll have to see. We'll have to see there about that. He's been kind of a miss when it comes to road course racing. Yes, he's one of the more talented, more experienced road course racers in the business. But when you have the recent winner of the Cup Series, Chase Elliott, being what he is on road courses, yeah, it's gonna be tough to do that. But again, I might be looking ahead a little too much there. Trackhouse Racing's got to be considered as the on-track favorite heading in. I mean, NBC had a love fest, and rightfully so, talking about Trackhouse Racing. And yes, they've seen this movie from afar, the way they have dominated there. But I thought Daniel Suarez was going to be a player, especially early in the race there, moving his way up to what, 2nd or 3rd in the race. I'm like, oh, here we go. Daniel Suarez has that confidence, like he really shown throughout the week there. After finally getting that big old monkey off your back there, you score your first win, and now here you go, you're supposed to reel off more wins, right? We'll see if that happens for this 99 team or not hanging in here. But they're pretty quiet after all the lays were said and done with the starts, restop, stop, and then start back up again. Let's see, where did he finish at? Daniel Suarez ended up finishing 15th in this race after a hot start for him. So he didn't benefit too much from all the stoppage. And we'll get to his teammate here coming out of the little mini break here, Denny Hamlin. He was the first to pit. Yes, I remember he was the first to pit and only got back up to the 6th position. He scored stages in 1 and 2 and both by finishing in the 2nd position there. He ended up leading the most laps, 5 times for 114 laps. You just thought, well, Denny Hamlin, he's got to have another win in the belt here. But he had to battle his teammate most of the night. That's the person of Martin Truex Jr. We'll get to that as well in that stupid decision to come in and pit with less than 5 to go, which still furious about that, but not as furious as I was there before. But once I get in this rant, I might be even more furious than that. But yeah, absolutely. You have to. Toyota, after getting absolutely their doors blown off against at Sonoma. That was a lot. At Sonoma, the last cup race there. Embarrassing. Absolutely. When you have a couple of drivers that had success at Sonoma, like a Kyle Busch, Mark Trish Jr., Denny Hamlin, Crystal Bell. And Crystal Bell, to me, is kind of underrated when it comes to road course racing a little bit. So you throw all those cars under a blanket. You got to think, well, yeah, we're the last ones, and we're not giving our drivers enough opportunity. So they went to work, and that really showed last weekend in Nashville, leading all but 50 laps and failing to win the race as well, thanks to some really questionable pit call, strategy calling there. But Denny Hamlin did pit and got back up to sixth there. You wonder that you had another restart there. He would have been in business there. So out of all those cars there who pitted there, either that or ran into a cluster, you know what? Denny Hamlin was able to bring that back up to the sixth position.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
Episode 301 continues in a three-wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Top five, right? Daniel Suarez teammate Ross Chastain ending up finishing in the fifth position there. He was in and around the top 10 for most of the night at one point. I believe it was early enough that he was able to recover it in the race itself there. A little bit of a pit road trouble for him. And he manages to finish all the way in the fifth spot there. He scored stage points in stage number two. Kyle Larson, solid night for him. Larson also finishing stages, getting stage points in one and two there as well. Quite a fourth for him at one point there. He was making a charge up there, the same pace, running the same pace as his teammate. Obviously not fast enough, but still right there with his teammate there in ended up finishing in the fourth spot there. Ryan Blaney, strong evening last weekend in Nashville. He ended up finishing third, also scoring stage points in both stage one and two. And this guy, this is what, how many times has he now, he was up there though. He showed speed. It wasn't like he used strategy to get himself in that position. This guy's already have a win in the bank. We saw this live in person in Kansas. This is not the first time he's kind of popped up there where he ran where he finished. He was in the back half of this top 10, top 12 all night long. I'm talking about Kurt Busch in the 23-11-45 machine, Monster Energy Toyota. Scored stage points in both, one and two, as well. He led once for three more laps there as well. So, opposite of Bubba Wallace, you would have thought that the way everyone sounded like and the way I was looking at the speed charts there, Bubba Wallace was going to have a good night. But again, the same damn thing every day, every week with this crew chief, probably even worse than the 19 team, even though, you know, actually for a change, the 19 pit crew, I'm talking about Martin Truex Jr.'s pit crew, was very solid all night long there, except for the brains up in the pit box there making a stupid decision there. But yes, Bubba Wallace, the frustration clearly there, you know, feeling good about yourself after being fast in practice, right? Kurt Busch, where was Kurt Busch at in that practice? I don't think he was up in the top 10. Over on practice when it's all said and done. But all the talk was on Bubba Wallace, and rightfully so. You're fast in practice, and then qualifying happens. You lay your eggs there. Whatever happened there, what happened to the speed of that race car. So it was up and down night for 23-11 racing, particularly the Bubba Wallace machine there, up and down through the field, back and forth there. If you're going to be contending for wins there, obviously the picker's got to get his head out of his ass. You know, at some point, or make changes, do something, or what Jeff Burton said in the podcast this week, NASCAR NBC podcast, take your time, make sure you get it right, or just minimize the damage on pit road somehow. It seems like we're hopping on this podcast. I'm hopping on this podcast talking about mistakes of the 2311 racing team, in particularly the Bo Wallace team, right? You keep screwing them over. And this is not the first time, obviously, because we keep it feels like every week, hop on here and saying, what now? What happened to the Bubba Wallace pit crew now? It seems like you expect it, kind of like old Martin Truex Jr. pit crew. You have to expect it because, you know, you have all week to get ready to work on stuff. And you get to the racetrack in the race condition situations, and you make the same stupid mistakes. I don't know what's going on there in that 23 camp. They got to get it fixed. So somehow, obviously, Bubba Wallace is going to have challenges this week because we're back on a road course as well. And despite, you know, getting laps on Bubba's end situation anyways, he actually was fine in Sonoma there, okay, before the engine blown out. So you can't do nothing much with that, obviously. Engines sometimes, unfortunately, give away sometimes. So you can't really do much there. But you can only, folks, so much you can control. And when Bubba Wallace had to pit that car on the pit lane, 23 pit crew did not come up to bat for him. They struck out, and Bubba gets pissed on the radio and has that little spiel with Booty Barker. I ain't gonna talk to you in the rest of the race like that. So. And I have not watched the Kurt Busch video. Obviously, he was on NASCAR.com talking about he has to change Bubba's mindset a little bit. And that's what's going on with saying, you know, time's starting to run out on the playoff position. And you have fast enough race cars to finish in the top 10. Now, Bubba Wallace finished in the 12th spot after starting basically in the back of the field after a terrible qualifying effort. After all was said, being you're the fastest car on a racetrack, all these high hopes of getting a good starting position for this team, you do that, and we're talking another fiddle here, and who knows? I mean, but you had this is probably what three or four times last week that Wallace went back through the field. I mean, he probably maybe for the exception, let's see, of Austin Cindric probably, but Wallace probably passed most cars or anyone else there. So it tells you something there. You're in the second half of the year and you haven't made changes to that pit crew. I don't know what's going on with that. So I mean, if you don't make changes or you don't make adjustments, you're gonna keep seeing the same damn thing over and over, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, apparently, you know, whatever they're doing, it's not working when it comes to minimizing mistakes with fast, really fast race cars, which is very unfortunate there. And you know, Bubba's going to be a player next week at Atlanta there. I mean, not throwing away the kitchen sink because it's a road course this week, tomorrow, today, and tomorrow for the Cup Series and Xfinity respectively there. But at some point, you have to put it down, get after your guys, and hey, say, hey, you can't keep doing this. I mean, we are building fast race, enough race cars, dominant of the 45, 23 as well. I think the 23 has shown a little bit more speed consistency, more than the 45, in my opinion, because of the way that they have got this, they got to get it figured out, or we're going to keep talking about it on here. And it's unfortunate for Bubba, and the frustrations are mounting for him. So, we'll have to see what happens there. Well, I ain't gonna count out tomorrow because of the fact that, yeah, it is road course and Bubba is not at his very best when it comes to turning lefts and rights there. But again, this is the new car that we're racing. Who knows what's gonna happen there as well. Starting to get off that pit box rant there. We already talked about Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott's second victory of 2022. Remember, he won earlier this year, kind of almost a month ago, at Dover. So after all that talk about Chase Elliott can't win on ovals, he's got two in his back pocket. That is for sure right there. Okay, so some notables here, and I'll just go right on into my other rant here. Still announced after the contract extension for him, he ended up finishing only in 16th place. Michael McDowell, everyone's talking about him now, and rightfully so. We're coming to Road America where he has an opportunity to really jumble up the playoff standings here. Michael McDowell finished 13th there. The newly TV star Austin Dillon finished 14th. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Austin Dillon has a new show, which is on USA Network there. And I can't think of the name of the TV show right now, which probably shows my enthusiastic excitement while I'm saying that. Austin Dillon, Living Life in the Fast Lane, I think, is what that is there. He ended up finishing 14th. He's going to have work to do if he's going to get the plug. He's going to have to win, like he said, in the little rain delay there as well. Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., 21st and 22nd. And since we're coming to the end of the first half of this podcast, I'm going to have to save it right when we get come back from intermission there. Yeah, I'm just baffled by the strategy games there. I mean, you're at a point where 5 laps to go. I mean, if caution comes out, you're a hero, and we do overtime again, right? But in this case here, I don't understand. I mean, Martin Truex Jr. had one of the top three best cars of the evening, if not the best, all night long. Of course, evident by winning both stages once again. And I retweeted a stat there, which is very, very, which was a wild stat. I have to go back during intermission to find that stat there that I retweeted over the weekend, last weekend there. I'm just confused and baffled about the strategy calls. I mean, why are we pitting with 5 to go? I mean, you're in a business. Blaney maximized the finish, Truex did not, and that's the big blame on the people up in the pit box. James Small, you're right there in the mix, so I'm blaming you. Putting you 3 wide for the week on that, because what are you doing? I mean, what is so hard? I mean, yes, initially, I mean, Martin said he wanted to stay out, okay, and he said something, may try to make an excuse that he forgot or something. You're the man in charge. If you forgot, you're coming right there to the commitment cone there where you have to make your decision where you want to pit or stay out. You should have hopped on the damn radio and said, stay out, stay out, stay out. If that was the general consensus, right, which it should have been anyways, right? Stay out, stay out. Hop on the radio. Remind your driver. Stay out, stay out. Don't rely on him. If he has a memory, if he has a bad memory or something, he doesn't have a bad memory, but, you know, and a shout-out, happy birthday shout-out, late shout-out, belated birthday to my driver, Martin Truex Jr., celebrated birthday earlier this week. So I want to get that out there. I didn't say anything on the old Bird app there, so I wanted to come on here and say it publicly on the podcast platform. Happy birthday, MTJ. Hopefully it was a fabulous day for you, sir. But it was not fabulous making that stupid call or either that or the decision to stay out, to come into the pits. I don't know why you would do that there, but it just getting old there. And it took me back. That decision right there, James Small, I'm put down on you, right? Came back, the flashbacks of the old Kansas race that I went to a few years back. I don't know what year it was. I believe it was the same year. I want to say it was the Furniture Row car still. Yeah, it was Furniture Row. I want to say that much. I think it was. Yes, the Furniture Row car. Of the good old French Road days, the Denver Colorado days, right, with Barney Visser, right? Your fast car, you're one of the, actually, two fastest cars of the night, because it was Harvick and you. And that was a tremendous battle all night long, especially after, and, oh, by the way, that had a rain delay as well. Not a lightning delay, not as much as what we witnessed last week with Nashville and the red weather situation, having to dodge the bullets there to get the whole race in. Again, kudos to NASCAR for doing that. But yeah, I don't understand. We're gonna hold this right here because it's intermission on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. When we come back, I will continue to rant about this because I just don't understand, especially the position that you're in right now, trying to fight to get one of those remaining playoff spots. You cannot get points away. And yes, I mean, you won 2 stages, which kind of eases the pain, which a week later, I don't know if it does or not. I'd rather have my top, to be honest with you, I'd rather have my top five finish instead of this lame 22nd place finish that Martin scored last week. So you cannot put yourself in that position there. But anyways, we're going to come back and finish this up and look at the playoff picture and get you guys set up for Road America, folks. You're listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. We're coming back after this.
Coming out of turn four, we're back with the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
And thanks for tuning in.
The 3Wide NASCAR Podcast rolls on July 2nd, 2022, folks. Eddie Greer III, episode 301 of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3, talking mostly Cup. Because when this podcast comes out tomorrow, it'll be before the Cup race at Road America. Just to finish up my rant from first half of the podcast there, I just don't understand. I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, God, you know, drivers or crew chiefs make dumb decisions and putting your drivers in bad positions there where if you get back there, you're not getting up to the front. And I've seen this too many times, and particularly with Truex making the wrong calls, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get back there in that cluster bleep, you know what, and you're done. And I said right there, like, he's pinned. We're done. We just gave up top five spot, a top five finish, gave it away. And not only that, maybe a chance to win the race. Well, even though, you know, Martin didn't have, well, first off, though, Martin was rolling on these restarts, man. He was passing dudes all over the place, right? So, I don't know if he had, I mean, it's hard to tell. And he would have started in what is baffling. What is baffling to me is the fact that Jake Small said we would have restarted on the front row with the eventual winner of this race, Chase Elliott. So not only that, you took yourself out of a top five finish, you took yourself out of a potential battle for the win and trying to get yourself locked into the 2022 playoffs. You cannot make this stuff up. So overall, it was a stupid decision, which left all of, shout out Truex Nation, very frustrated and pissed off. I was furious, especially the night that ensued afterwards with the Braves there. So this was just double the frustration, actually really triple the frustration there. So I just do not understand, why would you pit there? Now, you know, you see this on road courses too. People pit late, and you're either your hero or you're a zero. That's what that is there. So, it's just where these cautions fall. I mean, again, stage racing has ruined road course racing, in my opinion. I've said this multiple times on this podcast. So, unless you get rid of them, you get rid of the fun part, the strategy part. You mean, who's going to do what, right? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Well, you already know that 3/4 of the field are going to pit, and the ones that need stage points are going to stay out. That's what that is. There, for those who don't know. So, you know, is what it is now. Truex, a couple more plot points. So when he does get that win, he's going to be right there, depending on what happens. But you hope that does not come back to bite you in the ass. That's just what it comes down to. 9 to go. 4 spots still left. I ain't comfortable. I'm not comfortable with this. And I said it. I'm staying on my big time prediction, what I said on this podcast a few episodes ago. Right? And until we reach within that limit of 4-4 or whatever, or at 4-3, 4-2, meaning what? Four open spots for two races left for 4 spots. That's what I mean by that. Ratio in the 3-1 NASCAR Podcast EG3, right? Yeah, I ain't comfortable, and I'm going to stay on that boat. I'm going to stay on that island, too, by myself. I like to do things by myself anyway, so, right? So, I mean, I'm probably the only person that say that, but, and you're going on a road course that, let's face it, I mean, again, a Michael McDowell can win it, right? A Christian Bell can go lock himself in. Austin Citizen's already locked in, so he ain't got to worry too much about that. He has to position himself a little bit better there as well. Mark Trish Jr. can come back and rally back. And I just stumbled on this, folks, as I'm recording this. Kyle Busch saying some ridiculous stuff about road course, right? He said something about, quote-unquote, when it comes to road course racing. His words, not mine. Quote-unquote, it's not our strong suit. And I just said you won at Sonoma a few years ago. So it might not be your strong suit, but it's everybody else's strong suit. Hello, your teammates. So I don't, I don't like that. I don't like that whatsoever there. And that doesn't, you can't just cover up what took place there at Sonoma, because you're way competitive than that. Obviously, and Toyota dropped the ball out there. So again, it comes back to me saying, now you're right back on a road course, and let's see if Toyota does. They're going to be a factor, or you're going to be what you are a couple weeks ago. I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen out there, up there tomorrow. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. With all that being said, there as well. So, anyways, yeah, I just want to get that off my chest there as well. Others that finished poorly here, Brad Keselowski, and there's another thing, Brad Keselowski, yet to win, he's got Atlanta and the season finale to worry about, if he's gonna get himself locked in the playoffs, because he's deep in points because of that L1 penalty. He finished 29th, it's his employee counterpart, Chris Buescher, not a good night, 30th there. Chase Briscoe had issues early. William Byron, Alex Bowman. Byron Bowman, 35th, 36th, and Briscoe, Stuart Haas Racing, 34th, respectively, there as well. So, rough night. Half and half, really, for any more sports. You lose 2 cars, but 2 of your cars finish in the top 5. And cherry on top, you win the race. So, all in all, it cancels out to you having a good night, right? Good night out there in Nashville. Time of the race, 3 hours and 35 minutes. Felt longer than that. There with the average speed of 111.22 miles an hour. The average margin of victory there was a half a second There's Will Chase Elliott scored career win number 15 in his Cup Series career. There's Will Eno, by the way, Kyle Busch did start in the back of the field with unimproved adjustments there after crashing in qualifying the day before that as well. So that, my friends, is in the books. We're going to take a look here. We're going to talk Xfinity for a few minutes here after this.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
The Henry 180, as I sit here and record this podcast early this morning on a Saturday morning here for the Xfinity Series, folks. When it goes down later on this afternoon, it's going to be, guess who? Guess who? Any guesses? No, it's not what you think. It's not Chase Elliott. It's Kyle Larson. Special appearance in the Xfinity Series. And it's a moot point because when this podcast goes up, we're going to know who won this race. But Kyle Larson showed a lot of speed in that Hendrick Motorsports Xfinity car. And remember, they wanted to get an extra car. Junior Motorsports, which I'm going to get to at the end of this podcast. Junior Motorsports is fielding an extra car. So you already had the four monumental cars, right? The 1, 7, 8, and 9, right? So now you add the 17. That's what Kyle Larson's racing this weekend. This might be a long race from the Xfinity boys this afternoon when it goes down. Fast off the truck, no surprise. Fast in qualifying, you won qualifying, and you have a starting lineup for this race. Now, again, remember last time around, of course, AJ Allmendinger battled his way all the way up, ups and downs, and scored the win in the race there. So, and a common denominator in that race there was Ty Gibbs. He's going to start second this afternoon in Road America up there. So Ty Gibbs, he's doing it all. Whether it's mile and halves, under mile and a half, short track, road course, 54 Toyota seems to get it done wherever we go there. And the momentum continues for one Riley Herbst. Finished solid in the top five last weekend. Now you start third on the road course. And he was a factor in that road course up there in Portland a couple weeks ago as well. I just feel like Robert Harris is going to touch victory lane at some point. And I think I said this last week or the week before on this podcast. I'll say it again. I think Herbst is going to find victory lane for the playoffs begin. That's my other prediction, kind of boldish prediction there. That 98 has been a lot stronger since start second. It just I keep referring to this point. Him, Riley Herbst, getting comfortable in that car, and now all of a sudden he's showing speed in it. look out, folks! Look out for that 98 being in fact this afternoon. Cole Custer is back in the 07. Remember, he won early this year in that ride at Auto Club at his home state. His home track, he's back. He's going to be in the four. I really like this guy, not Cole Custer. I look at this guy, Sam Mayer. He rolls off fifth. I wasn't really aware of this before it was talked about on the FS1 broadcast at Portland. Mayer is pretty good solid on road courses. So he's starting fifth. He showed speed yesterday in the practices session. Sheldon Cree looking to bounce back. He starts sixth. Noah Gregson will roll off seventh. Sammy Smith. Good old Sammy Smith. Going to start eighth this afternoon in Wisconsin. Tyler Reddick, another Cup guy, will start ninth. And then you have Austin Hill starts 10th. So the RCR car is being competitive a little bit. Sixth and 10th right there. And let's not forget about Jeremy Kmetz. Pretty good road course racer himself. He's going to start 11th. Shays Karam roll off 12th there. Some notables here. Brandon Jones starts 14th. Justin Allgaier 15th. Josh Berry 16th there. And where do you find Allmendinger for the second straight road course? You don't have to start in the back of the field. I don't know what happened with H. Allmendinger there, but this guy would be disappointed for him. Allmendinger starting back there dead last Indy Hunter 180. So a lot of work to do there. Myatt Snyder, who finished second to Almendinger, where he's starting at 31st for Jordan Anderson Racing. So again, all this is a moot point there because it's going to be moot point because you know, when you listen to this, this race is going to be already over. So I know I like talking about that, but yeah, so we'll see what happens there. Obviously, Junior Motorsports, you know, I'll go into this now while I'm thinking about it. Junior Motorsports is on my sheet. Kelly Earnhardt Miller talking to Sirius this week saying that I do want to go cut racing, not her. Well, she's a former racer herself, quite frankly, but us as a team, this is her words, we already eventually want to go to Cup. So we talked about this at Spurts. This was a while back on the podcast, but to reiterate this, yeah, they will be good enough. Now, I believe once and if this goes down or whatever, if they do officially decide to go to Cup Racing, it's going to be big. Obviously, you have Dale Jr., huge part of that race team. Well, obviously because it's Junior Motorsports. But those cars right now in the Xfinity Series are rolling. They're out-besting RCR. They're out-besting Colleague Racing. They're out-besting Joe Gibbs Racing. Yeah, you name it. That random guys right now. And a good chance we could see another one in Victory Lane here. Who knows? Sam Mayer might pop up in Victory Lane. Was all said and done. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, they're obviously on top of the game in the Xfinity Series, and who knows? I mean, once they hit the Cup Series, they might have to start stepping up a little bit with the performance. But other than that, I mean, the new car gives them that flexibility to give them that possibility to make that a reality. So good for them. We as NASCAR fans become clamoring for them to move up to the next level. Level though, since they're just steamrolling through the Xfinity Series right now. Obviously, last week's winner. Now that I'm doing two things at the same time. Justin Allgaier, your recent winner there. So you have him, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six wins for Junior Motorsports in the Xfinity Series this season there. So, I mean, you can continue to run well and continue to produce the results. Why not? Why not give a crack out of here? Start with the famous one car. Let's not try diving in and hire two race cars, right? Because right now, they're pretty good right now. So we'll see what happens there on that. As you know, we move along. Obviously, it wouldn't be next year anyway. It would be 2024 when that announcement goes. Well, I shouldn't speak ahead of myself. Well, they're looking at the people in charge of Junior Motorsports are looking at 2024 as a possible date to make that move, that big time move to the Cup Series. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, right now they're trying to win a championship right now and putting yourselves in position to do that as well. So another strong year in 2022 for Junior Motorsports there in the Xfinity Series.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
Last year's Cup race at Road America. This is episode 301 of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 here as we hit in the home stretch here today on this podcast here. Last time we're on Road America, the debut last year on the 4th of July, Chase Elliott scored the victory there, which I believe at that time, I want to say it was his first, no, I think it was his second win of the year because he won COTA earlier on last year. So I think this was his second win of the year last year there, and he won stage one last year in that race. Christopher Bell finished second. I'm telling you now, you say Kyle Busch out here saying some wild stuff. It's not a strong shoot. We're in the road courses. Well, your teammates apparently run pretty good, so I ain't buying that. Considering the performance at Sonoma, which was terrible, absolutely terrible. Kyle Busch finished third. Kurt Busch fourth. Denny Hamlin fifth. So there's that. And then, of course, you run down Chase Briscoe, Ross Chastain, Tyler Reddick. Another one of your teammates finished in the top 10 last year. MTJ finished in the top 10. And a guy that's not in the series no more, Matt DiBenedetto, rounds out the top 10 for the Wood Brothers racing there. So, I mean, yeah, that's how it speaks. That, you know, the result, I'm the result speaks for itself there on that. So, on that comment. That comment was really not necessary, especially when you guys as a team ran like absolute like dog bleep. So I mean, yeah, it is what it is there. But Chase Elliott there, yet another win there. So we'll see what happens on that as I switch gears here to the point standings here. So after Nashville, obviously, you have a repeat winner there, which is now you have Chase Elliott, Ross Chastain, Joey Logano, William Byron, and Denny Hamlin now all have two wins apiece. That's five drivers there. And if you're one of the drivers that is in the back looking for some help, well, you got it in Hamlin. I'll tell you that, because you cannot afford to have another guy outside of what you are now. So Blaney is way to the good still right now. Mark Trish Jr. is still solid. It could have been better with the finish, but he's still okay for now. Christian Bell and Harvick has the last playoff spot by 9 over Eric Almirola. And then you have a few ways back to Tyler Reddick and then so forth. Yeah, also, you need to win. Eric Jones, yeah, you need to win. You ain't close enough. So, again, that kind of brings back up Michael McDowell, right? If he has a good run, not only that, you go win the race. He's not even listening to the top 20 as I'm looking at this list. So this is really spicy. This is going to get really spicy, and I can't wait to watch it unfold tomorrow afternoon, the Road America race, cup race, as well. And the way this weather is winding out, is shaking out here today on this soggy Saturday, Xfinity Series race is going to be in my future. So I'm not going to mention the time because it'll be a moot point. Again, the trucks are off this weekend. They'll be turned on action, I believe, next weekend. Like I said here, I want to make sure that was right. No, they're not. Excuse me. They're going to be at another location. So they'll be racing, but not Atlanta. They're at Mid-Ohio, the Truck Series, at Mid-Ohio next weekend while the Xfinity Series returns to Atlanta Super Speedway. Yes, Super Speedway, folks. They need to take out the Motor Speedway out and put Super Speedway, the new look, a Speedway track, baby. We saw a lot of what happened the first time we were there. A lot to get into with that as the days progress and so forth there. So, yeah, Blaney is out front right now. Locke has that spot locked down unless some catastrophic happens between now and then. Mark Trish Jr. still okay, 14th. Christian Bell, 15th. And Harvick back there needing to hold off a friendly fury from his teammate, Eric Almirola, for that final playoff spot. And you know, I could probably choose right now who's going to stay out in a stage one and get those critical, crucial playoff points, right? So, I mean, we'll have to see, man. It's going to get really interesting here. Down a stretch here. 9 to go. Road America. Tomorrow is going to be something else. Hey, real quick here. Before I sign out here, I was watching the track and field championships last weekend. Sydney McLaughlin, yet again, another world record in 400 meter women's hurdles. For those of you who don't catch up, don't watch track and field, it's all right, because if you're a runner, you listen to this podcast, then you know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to give you two ultimatums right there. But, yeah, McLaughlin, another world record, and now it's only USA championships there as well. So, man, she's something else. I enjoy watching her perform at the highest level. The 200 was something else as well. I can't remember who was pissed off. Noah Lyles ended up winning that race, that 200 sprint to the finish. Well, it was literally sprint to the finish there because I thought he was going to lose that race, but somehow, some way, it came through at the very end, got it done when it needed most there. As well, I'm trying to find the last That's not what I want right there. This is what I want right here. Yeah, 200. Yeah. All right, so the men's are going to let me do that or not. So I try to do two things at the same time. Yeah, there we go. There we go. That's what I needed right there. All right. Yeah, so all right. So the men's 200 got a little wild towards the end there. Noah Lyles wing it at the gun, at the line, 2 seconds away from Arian Knighton. That's what I'm saying that right? Arian Knighton. Yeah, shout out Arian Knighton there for not backing down there and making this a rivalry. More importantly, heading into World Championships on the same platform as well. I thought Noah was going to lose there, but somehow picked it up. The final, 100 yards or not? It was not even that. Probably like last 40 yards there. He picked it up right there and nipped him at the line there, which to Knighton's displeasure meant there was pissed off that he did not win. But, again, these guys are sponsored by Adidas there as well. So, it's going to be interesting seeing these guys compete, obviously, there. Kenny Benarek, he already was in. So, he's already locked him. He's already locked in, I think, to the U.S. team there as well. So, that was something right there that we saw right there between those guys. And it's apparently, it ain't over. It is not over. For a long shot right there. I'm just looking at some other notables here. I do want to mention Allie Wilson there. She went sub 2 in the 800 there as well. So I could just dive on this even more and more. Yeah, the women's 200 saw a Kentucky runner, the women's 200, win it pretty handily. Abby Steiner got it done as well. So that was awesome. See that. Yeah, I can go on another 30 minutes. I know it's not NASCAR related, but going outside, going to the garage and checking out other stuff and throw on NASCAR pipe with EG3 there as well. So yeah, I wanted to bring that back up. Cindy McLaughlin, world record, putting it down. And it could even get even faster than that. So we'll see. So yeah, we'll have to see what happens. It goes down, obviously, not this weekend, but I believe, no, a week and a half away, I want to say, because it starts on the week of July 13th, if I'm not mistaken there. Yeah, I got to go back and make sure of that. So for all you track and field nerds out there who enjoy this stuff, like me included, they go fast like NASCAR, but not as fast, not as quick as NASCAR's going around. Lefts and rights, whatnot, but they're definitely quick when you put your feet on the ground for the races that took place up in Eugene. So I wanted to mention that as well. But the question is, going back to Rodemaker, he has to wrap this thing up here, folks. What will happen? Obviously, practice goes down to that. So I don't have a starting lot for you right now because I'm recording this on Saturday. Outside the window of practice, so I'm not gonna I don't have any of that staff stuff for you, so you're gonna have to make sure you're locked into USA Peacock for that type of stuff there, as well as big weekend of racing on this 4th of July weekend. 4th of July on Monday, I gotta race myself coming on Monday as well, running the 5K in Junction City there. So hopefully that turns out all well here. But hopefully all turns out well for some of these guys that are bound for a playoff spot as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow and today. So we'll definitely have a Road America recap on the next edition of the podcast. I will get back with AJ of the One Lug TV YouTube channel. See when he wants to come back on. I was supposed to have him on for episode 300. That did not come to fruition there. So hopefully I can bring him back on within the next couple of weeks or so to chat, to see the outlook of the season so far at this point, because I don't think the wildness is over. Yes, a repeat winner has won, thank goodness, but I don't think the madness is over yet. It's going to be really interesting who unloads in the ballpark. That's who I'm going to keep an eye on as well. As for Trackhouse Racing, getting all the love, Justin Marks is going to be back in the truck series next week at Mid-Ohio. This announcement was made yesterday as well. So the old boss for Trackhouse Racing, all the success they've had on track and on it, the owner, port owner of this team. Will go to work, and Justin Marks is a pretty good, from what I took it, a pretty good, decent workhorse racer himself. So definitely, he's going to be tackling that project tomorrow as well. We'll see what happens there for sure, man. Yeah, so Trackhouse Racing, getting all the focus on them right now. But better not sleep on Herrick Motorsports, making a statement there. Obviously, Toyota, with a group effort to get themselves right, took a good, big step direction forward. They just got to finish the deal and make better decisions when it comes to late race strategy. The Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, get it! Wherever you get your podcast, that's going to be a wrap on episode 301 of the 3Y NASCAR Podcast, EG3. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, you might want to do that right now. When this comes out tomorrow, an hour-ish before the green flag flies up in Road America. So I'm looking forward to that, despite the stage racing and all that. Ruining road course racing, which I've said thousands of times on this podcast. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens there at that. Hopefully, everyone will have a safe and happy 4th of July, folks. And we will talk to you on the next edition of the 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3 with the Road America Recap. Who will take the checkered flags this weekend? We'll see what happens in Road America this weekend.
Is waved on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast where podcasts are found. Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll catch you all in the next episode. Thank you for listening.